How's everybody doing out there? You're listening to the Day Tripper Podcast, episode 33. We are talking Texas, October 2016. Let's go. All right, everybody. So I'm Chad Garner. Joining me, as always, is my great co-host, Todd White.
Howdy, howdy, folks.
And all you folks listening out there over the airwaves or stream waves or, I don't know, wires.
Podcaster of your choice waves.
That's right. That's right. But before we get into it, we couldn't do it without our sponsor, Mighty Fine Burgers, Fries, and Shakes. 5 Austin area locations. And I went to the truck for the first time the other day.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
they got it good.
It's just good. Good as always.
You can eat, shop, hit the other trucks.
Yeah, that's right. It's so Mighty Fine's gotten into the food truck game. Theirs is almost like a big container, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's movable. I don't know if I noticed wheels, but it's massive.
It's like one of those shipping containers.
Yes,
you see.
It's huge.
Yep.
And you know, they're making Mighty Fine burgers on Barton Springs, so right in the heart of Austin. Very cool. Very cool.
Right there by the park. So if you're at Zilker Park,
bam.
It's like maybe less than half a mile walk.
Yeah, easy. Easy. Oh, man, they're going to make a killing at ACL Fest.
Oh, they are.
It's going to be crazy.
Oh, they are.
So anyway, look them up. Mighty Fine Burgers, Fries, and Shakes. And phenomenal stuff. Absolutely phenomenal. So this, you know, these podcasts, these Talking Texas podcasts, we basically just fill you guys in on all that we've been up to, the craziness, talk a little bit about Texas, get a chance to answer some of y'all's questions, and basically have a good time. Have a good old time. Right now we are at a Grape Creek Winery on the Georgetown Square having some vino.
Yes, it's so good.
We tend to do these in very, very delicious places.
Yeah, we do. We've done these in restaurants.
Yep.
A couple times in restaurants, actually.
And yep.
Last time we were at El Monumento.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. At the L Bar.
L Bar. That was good. That was good. Now we've found a different kind of drink.
Uh-huh.
All good. It's always fun.
Yep.
Good All right, stuff. Man. So, let's jump right in. What you been up to since last month, Todd?
You know, for me, I feel like I say this over and over again, but I mean, I shot Dallas Fashion Week, or I should say Fashion X Dallas.
Yeah.
A partnership that a group I work with have the Cadillac, and so we shot that, and we're going to be in Houston this month.
Yeah. All right, so I know nothing really about the fashion world. If you watch the show, you see that my fashion sense is like basically flannel shirts and blue jeans. And would a normal person be totally lost at Fashion X event?
I don't think so. I think
No.
they would have a lot of fun. I mean, it's not just about going and dressing up and being, you know, high fashion, because we're in Texas, so things are a little more casual.
Okay.
So, I mean,
okay.
I wear my jeans and a nice shirt, you know, and my hat and all that kind of stuff. It's a wide range. And so you can do shopping while you're there as well. Shopping's kind of fun, too.
Cool.
They had different vendors as well. So no, people would not feel out of place or lost in it.
Okay.
And it's a fun way to see cool fashion.
Is it okay?
Yeah, it is.
See, that I don't know if that's an oxymoron for me or not. Cool fashion. It's like I think my eyes would just glaze over.
You might. You know what? I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, see?
You know, it's all good.
Different strokes for different folks.
Absolutely.
I do think that, I mean, I could see how maybe I could be into that. Because it's this whole, like, lifestyle thing, you
the
know?
Stuff that people come out with that are there, I mean, it's everything from stuff you could wear every day.
Yeah.
Suits and ties for guys, and then cool dresses for the girls. But then there's some designers that are just really out there, the way they present it. And it's something right off the runways of New York or Milan.
In Dallas. Yes. In Dallas, Texas.
Yep.
Okay, see, I think I could get... I think I need to see fashion more as art.
You do.
And less as, like, functional stuff to stop me from getting a public indecency.
And our events
ticket.
Have a good mix of both.
Okay, all right. Well, cool.
Yep. It's good stuff. And then, of course, we've been prepping for the new episodes to launch.
Oh, man.
By the time you're listening to this, you'll be
right we'll be rolling into it. That's right.
Yeah.
New episodes start in October every year. We kick off the new season. This is going to be a big one. Big Bend, Taylor, Conroe, and Bernie.
Yeah.
Woo-woo!
Yeah. I got some cheers for Taylor.
We have some people here with us.
This is our first like live podcast recording. I feel like we've got an audience here. It's an audience of two.
Right?
But well, cool. And then, of course, you and I did this together. Went to Port A.
Yes, we did.
Todd's childhood stomping ground. That was fun. Port A is a really good beach town because I feel like I got the right mix between like the touristy stuff.
Yep.
Because
yep.
you're gonna get the souvenir shops with the shark mouths open, and mm-hmm. you're gonna get the kitschy, you know, garbage souvenirs and all that stuff.
I brought a shell home for the grandbaby.
You did. That was
put it up to the ear. She's like, I can hear the ocean, but why isn't it here?
Oh, see? The fascination.
Questions of life.
I know, right. Why is it the ocean in the shell? You know, and so like Port A, but you can kind of almost just ignore that stuff and just get back to a cool beach town. So in the episode, we actually took a surfing lesson. Greatest moment of the surfing lesson was I was surfing right next to my instructor, and I totally ate it, but my board stayed straight, so the dude just hopped on my board and his board and surfed them both back to the shore.
And we caught that on the drone.
Yeah, awesome. That'll be in the episode, so make sure you watch it. But
it was good.
Port A was great. Port A was good
time. To show my age, though, I was kind of disappointed I wasn't seeing the OP or the Pat McGee surf shop and stuff like that.
Our surf guy, the guy we use, a guy named Morgan, who runs Texas Surf Camp, sponsored by Body Glove.
Yeah.
So that was a throwback. That was a throwback.
That was impressive, very much so. And of course, we're getting ready for our premiere party. So by the time this podcast goes out, you guys are going to be within like 5 or 6 days of the
opportunity. If y'all are listening to this podcast at the beginning of October, October 6th, we are having a big premiere party downtown Georgetown. Mm-hmm. Outdoor viewing. We'll premiere the first episode. We'll have Rudy's Barbecue there, Lone Star Beer there. We'll have all kinds of stuff. It's going to be a party. It's going to be great. Yep.
Live music.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Live music. Fun. Good times.
What have you been up to?
Well, man, the Port A thing with you, trying to look back, went to Lake Palestine for Labor Day. That was all good times. Went to a UT game. Always try to get back to a UT game with my beautiful bride, Laura. This was fun. At Lake Palestine, we were on the lake. We were getting bored because my father-in-law doesn't have anything to drag behind his boat other than this tube. And we're like, all right, we can do better than this. And so my brother-in-law, Jacob, and I start scanning the shore for things we can drag behind a boat. And
driftwood?
And hopefully stand on top of. Driftwood would be hard.
I agree.
But we saw the SUP board and we're like, can you SUP behind a boat? Answer is yes, you can.
Nice.
So we started dragging ourselves and the SUP board. We were like, okay, you can do it with one. Let's do it with two. So we do it with two. Mm-hmm. Then I did it with my son sort of sitting on the nose of the board. It was a blast, man. You can drag anything behind a boat.
Nice.
Anything you want behind a boat.
Isn't that kind of like a longer surfboard?
Yeah. They're kind of longer, more stable. But you know, wake surfing is becoming this new thing where you put a fat sack, which is a big thing of water, in the back of a boat. Or these boats are now being built with these special rudders, and you throw up a wave behind a boat that's big enough to surf. And so you get going with the rope, and you eventually just throw the rope away, and you surf this never-ending wave.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. See, in Texas, we're pretty inventive. We got to figure out, well, since we don't really have good surfing waves. We got to figure out how to manufacture them.
And then you filled up your week also with fielding is now in baseball.
Oh, dude, baseball.
You have just
youth
hit that.
Baseball. My gosh, I wish there were like the half youth baseball movement. Like we kind of want to play baseball, but like we don't really want to play baseball. Mm-hmm. Like because we're doing this now.
You want
it's like
Sandlot
it can be
style.
Up to like four nights a week, man.
You want Sandlot style?
Yes, that's
just
right.
Just get together,
man.
Play some ball. Go home. You're done.
Who cares? You know, you may hit, you may not. You know, you're gonna be terrible. But like we're not going to play college with mm-hmm. baseball. So, you know, or maybe some people are and they can go and do that. But there's really no like baseball light for parents. It's like intense, man. You got to be all in and every night of the week almost. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's crazy. But it's fun. It is fun. And he's getting a lot better at hitting and things. And so it's been really great.
Cool.
Been really great. So we are in the month of October, which means if you go to any store, Halloween is going to be out in full force.
And all vacant former supermarkets of any sort are now
Spirit Halloween stores. Well, if you've watched the show, you can probably guess that I like to dress up, and I like Halloween.
And you make so us dress up.
I make y'all dress up as women mostly. But the that's another story. The you know, Halloween for me is, I get more excited about Halloween stuff out than I do Christmas stuff out. And I know that's kind of bad because Christmas, like the birth of Jesus and stuff, which is great. But like Halloween, the skeletons and all that, I get pumped. I think growing up for me, Halloween was like, we went over the top. We made, my father and I painted tombstones. We put them in the yard. We wouldn't go trick-or-treating. We would just stay in the yard and try to scare people. My dad and I made a pine box coffin. I mean, I was the one helping him. We made this full-sized coffin, could fit a human in it. And like, that was our favorite thing to play in.
Love it.
My childhood play equipment in my backyard was a coffin. It's a little morbid, but like, we didn't really get into nothing demonic, but we always liked to indulge on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my mom would take us to the Haunted Hotel in Beaumont. You know, one of those haunted walk-through houses. And so for me, like, I get pumped when Halloween shows up. It gets me excited. And so, like, there's all kinds of haunted houses, you know, going around. You know, it's not so much me nowadays. It's what are my kids dressing up as? Because, and then am I going to have to make that?
Okay.
So, like, I made a couple years ago a Transformer outfit for my son that actually transformed out of cardboard and duct tape. but it did transform. You can build anything with cardboard and duct tape, man.
Yes, you can.
And so, like, but, like, this Halloween coming up, I'll be the Georgetown renovates our old jail, turns it into mm-hmm. Brown Santa Haunted House, which yep. is phenomenal. I'm going to go to this other thing in Manor called Scare for a Cure that my brother's gone to. You got to buy tickets online. I haven't been, but he says it's pretty crazy. You have to sign a big waiver that you're okay getting blood all over you.
Okay.
Fake blood, of course.
Of course.
You're okay being touched. They can chase you.
Nice.
And at some point, he said you were walking through this maze and the whole ground started moving and you realized you were in the back of a truck getting transported somewhere.
Nice.
Like you had gone in a truck and then boom,
nice.
It shut.
Nice. That's awesome.
Dude, intense. So,
wow.
So I guess, you know, Halloween for me is a special time. It's not necessarily like any of that scary demonic stuff, but I like the sensation of being scared. And this is the time of year when, like, you get to kind of indulge that. I don't really get too scared. I just giggle kind of like a little girl the whole time, but it's fun, man. Being scared is one of the most fun emotions for me. And I think that just makes me a sicko. But it's, oh man, I grew up watching scary movies.
I'm withholding all comments on that statement.
Well, do you like haunted houses?
I do. I grew up going to haunted houses.
Yeah.
San Antonio, the Grayson Street was a fantastic haunted house.
Mm.
Absolutely wonderful.
Well, then we're going to have to go to the Brown Santa thing over here together on one night.
That'd be good.
It's going to be fun.
Totally do it.
I don't know when it fires up, but we have this old jail. It is terrifying. Even mm-hmm. just in broad daylight, like the old rusty cells, and they put all kinds of reenactors in there. Oh man, nice. It's nuts.
We even did a haunted house when I was in college at the University of Texas, San Antonio.
Really?
So I was Lambda Chi Alpha fraternity,
yeah.
And we had a huge plot of land, and we did the Lambda Chi haunted forest for Halloween.
Yes.
And people would wander back through the property, and we'd have all kinds of fun stuff. And we actually dug graves, put the tombstones, filled it with dry ice, so the smoke's coming up.
Yes.
Going across. We had guys that were hiding out in the woods, dressed up like. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You know,
yes, come out with the chainsaw
going,
take the blade off.
And... Oh, absolutely. It was fantastic.
Oh, I love that stuff, man. That's so fun. So, anyway, happy celebrating Halloween to all the folks out there. It's too much fun, and now experiencing it through my kids is a whole nother level. It's a blast. I love Halloween.
And it's so different. You're talking about Transformers and things like that and the scary stuff, and I am talking to Tatum, my grandbaby, that
yeah.
day in San Antonio, and she's like, she's going to be Hermione.
Hermione, that's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So she's watched all the H. Potters
oh,
movies
she has.
And stuff?
Okay. Oh, yeah, she's hooked.
Loves yep. it. Loves it. That's good.
Her school backpack, Gryffindor. So, yeah.
Cool. I think we are being a... Feeling wanted to be a spy. I think
okay.
Rin is going with Alice in Wonderland. Cannon is... Got this hilarious thing where she's riding an ostrich.
Mm-hmm.
It's like got fake ostrich legs.
Fun.
Yeah, it's gonna
That's
be cool.
And
Laurel, we'll see. Probably a banana again or something like that.
So spy feeling Dick Tracy or James
Bond? No, like kind of more James Bond.
Wow.
He's his own kind of kid. He just kind of makes it up as himself.
Okay.
More Indiana Jones.
Oh.
He's got this kind of fake leather jacket and sunglasses and a notepad. And he goes around observing things.
Got it.
It's a weird mix.
It is.
He didn't really mimic anybody. He thought, this is what a spy looks like. Okay, I'll just do this.
Okay.
It'd be fun. It'd be cool.
That'll be awesome.
So anyway, I hope all you guys have a good time celebrating Halloween out there. Time for our next segment.
While you've been listening to this podcast, lots of stuff's been going on in the Lone Star State. This is Meanwhile in Texas.
All right. So, Todd, tell me, what did you find amusing in Texas?
So I found a couple of things amusing in Texas going on right now. First of all, last time we had a podcast about a month or so ago, the last Talking in Texas, I mentioned Rick Perry being in Texas.
Yep,
he's gone.
As what? Last night. Oh, no!
Please tell me you did not expect him to last more than a month.
I mean,
come on.
Okay, so I don't watch Dancing with the Stars, but I've been meaning to tune in to watch Governor Hare, and I missed it.
I'm going to put a link on the post for this podcast.
Okay.
So two things. The outfit that he wore, cut off, sleeveless shirt that he's walking through the parking lot in with his black pants and stuff, looks bad. Secondly, there's his last performance, which he does as a Spanish dance.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Was it unwatchable?
He barely moved.
Oh.
I mean, it was that lady that was with him was fantastic. He was just Rick.
Well, I mean, you know.
But anyway, he's gone. He's out of there. Done. But something I thought was kind of interesting is the Astrodome. So like 17 years ago, remember?
Yeah.
Yep. Gone, uh-huh. Done, finished.
Yep, they moved
big,
over.
Big, giant space open.
Yep.
They're going to breathe some new life into that now. Now, it's not anything spectacular, but they're going to basically make it a parking lot and event parking space. So they're going to raise it up a little bit, and they're going to add floors into it and use that for parking.
Oh.
Around there. So,
interesting.
I mean, it's seen different things over and over again. There was a discussion about it being a movie lot. And
yeah, there
stage.
Were all kinds of interesting things.
It housed the Katrina victims when they came.
Yeah.
Refuge and such. So finally, they went ahead and the city council approved to go ahead and instead of being a pile of rubble, they're going to try to make some money off of it. They're going to put about 1,400 parking spaces in there. And they would also they're going to basically put some floors, raise it up, and they're going to make an event space on the top level.
Okay.
So they're
okay.
Either concerts, mainly for trade shows, events, and things
okay,
like that.
Okay, but some of it's going to turn into parking.
Yep.
It sounds like they're going to gut it, though, kind of.
They're
going to have to.
They are. They're going to have to gut it, they say. And build parking spaces, put a floor in, and use the top part for events.
Man! Well, it's surrounded by nothing but acres and acres of parking spaces.
I know.
Why don't you get more parking spaces in a land of parking spaces?
So the price tag to do this renovation, though, is about $105 million. But I think they're going to want to bank on the fact that people will use that space for events.
Okay.
And make that money back.
Okay. Ouch, man.
It's kind of different.
Yeah, like why don't you spend $105 million just to build more parking spaces?
I know.
I mean, preserve the Astrodome. Eighth wonder of the world.
I mean, it's had some pretty significant things done. I think there's some nostalgia around.
Oh, without a doubt.
For sure. I mean, you basically had 4 Muhammad Ali fights that occurred. You had 6 no-hitters. You had the game of the century for college basketball. You had Billie Jean King's famous Battle of the Sexes victory. And then, of course, I already mentioned housing the Katrina victims.
Yes.
So there's some nostalgia around it as well.
Got it. I get that. I mean, it really was like, I think it was the first domed stadium when it had air conditioning. And so it had all these big things. So maybe tearing it, I don't want to see it torn down.
No.
So I'm hoping that, but $105 million just for parking spaces is a lot.
Parking and event space.
Okay.
So hopefully that'll work out.
I hope so. Ouch, man.
And then
ouch.
My other thing I'm going to mention is can Blue Bell just. Can they get a break?
Oh, man.
Now, I know it was a limited recall, mainly around their cookie dough ice cream and things like that. And it was mainly, the suspect was around the of Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi areas.
Yep.
But still, I mean, can they just not catch a break?
I heard that. I read about that. And they were using a vendor making their cookie dough.
Yep.
That... Oh,
it's back to Listeria. Back to Listeria.
Tough break for old Bluebell.
I know.
I still love them.
Poor guys.
Still love them.
What'd you find out in the world?
Well, this is one here that's called, I'll just call this yeast and desist. Yeast and desist. That's at least that's what the article
that's
says
a brilliant
here.
Brilliant title. Brilliant
yeah.
title.
So there's a donut shop in Austin okay. that started making a donut, like a bear claw, but in the shape of a Hook'em Horns hand
oh,
signal.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yes. Yeah, so this donut shop's making them. They're calling them Longhorn. I think they were just called Longhorn Donuts.
Okay.
But they're awesome. They're in the shape of a Hook'em Horns. And yes. it actually looks like a hand mm-hmm. making a Hook'em mm-hmm. Horns. Well, good old UT and their crazy belligerent trademark rights.
Of course.
Wrote them a letter telling them that they own the Hook'em Horns and that is damaging to their trademark.
Oh, no.
Rights. I was like, okay, as someone, what I practice is trademark law. I still do it. And I did it when I was practicing at a law firm at Fulbright Jaworski. And all the attorneys, I actually know. I used to work with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
They were part of the firm I was at. And so I understand when the client tells you to do this, you go and you do it. But come on, overreaching a little
lame.
Bit, man.
That seems lame.
It's like, okay, so they do own the Hook'em Horns hand signal.
Okay.
Symbol, rather. So they own that. But what you have to prove is that somehow what the person is doing is likely to be confused with you. In other words, that the Longhorns, University of Texas, was officially licensing donuts. So would someone really buy a donut and think they're buying the official donut of the
no.
University of Texas? No.
No.
It's just a cool hand symbol donut.
Does that mean that every kid that gets the face painted or a little tattoo on their cheek to go to the game with the symbol?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Trademark infringement. if they're doing it.
This is far-reaching.
If it's in commerce, right? I mean, you've got to be making money off of something. So they're making money off these donuts. But to me, that's just cool, man.
That is,
it was cool.
I agree. That is cool to have those.
And the law firm who wrote the letter was saying all sorts of stuff like, we appreciate the gesture, you know, we love your fanaticism, but we have to protect our trademarks. And it would be bad if the donuts started making people sick, like Bluebell or something. And, it would reflect bad on the university. But I don't think so.
No,
I'm going to disagree with those guys up and down.
This is being stupid.
But my advice, if the donut taco shop is listening, just change the name to the Rock and Roll Donut and keep selling them.
I agree.
Because, I mean,
there we go.
This right here, mm-hmm. I guarantee you, University of Texas, and that's my alma mater, but they own that for collegiate athletics and being a college. They don't own it for everything mm-hmm. out there. So they certainly don't own it for donuts.
I mean, we are the live music capital of the world. So yeah, Rock and Roll Donut.
Rock and Roll Donut.
Keep it going.
That's
Let's
right.
do it.
That's it.
Yep.
That's all I think they need to do.
There you go.
If they don't want to fight. But I think, truthfully, they could win. Because how different is a donut from collegiate athletics?
Extremely.
Yeah, exactly.
Last I checked.
And yeah, last I checked, those are kind of different businesses. All right. But anyway, I love UT. Love the guys at that law firm. But come on, man. Come on, man.
It's a stretch. I get it.
That's to steal a line from some ESPN guy. His thing is, come on, man. I think it's Chris Carter. Come on, man. All right. So, moving on.
Are we there yet? Hey, can you pass me the snacks?
So, we've got a few questions that we need to address this time around.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna start off with a tough one.
Okay.
So, on Twitter, at Sorrel Barbecue, ask this question of us.
All right.
What is the best political party? What is the best barbecue? And what is the best religion?
Oh, what? Okay. I can think of nothing more divisive than politics and religion. And then he throws in Texas barbecue, which in this state is just as divisive.
Just as bad.
Oh, man. Yeah, I ain't touching that with a 10-foot pole, Mr. Sorrel Barbecue.
Yeah, we're going to go right on past that one.
It's a trap.
We are going to go right on past that. All right, so something a little bit lighter for us to deal with.
All right.
Charles Mitten from Burnett says, hey, what is the name of the restaurant chain in Austin and surrounding areas that serves a jalapeno sauerkraut for breakfast?
Ooh, I know this one well.
Yeah.
I know this one well.
Yeah.
The only time I've ever had jalapeno sauerkraut was at Hat Creek Burgers.
Mm-hmm.
They've got one in Georgetown and a couple other Austin places, but they make a super awesome jalapeno sauerkraut.
And you can go in and you can buy it in the jar.
You can buy it in the jar.
Absolutely.
And put it on They'll put it on a breakfast taco. They'll put it on anything you want it to.
Yep.
And I've had it on some breakfast tacos. Pretty good.
It's good.
Pretty darn good. It's especially delicious on cheeseburgers.
It's also really good as a side for your meatloaf or even barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
From somewhere
anything,
else.
Anything. If you, oh, man, take it home, put it on an actual bratwurst.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh! Holy smokes, man. It's good. It's good. So that would be Hat Creek Burgers, my friend.
So you had an interesting question as well from on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. So here's this. This is from CetherSK82. So at CetherSK82. He said, why don't breakfast tacos come as crispy tacos? And I thought, yeah, man, why don't breakfast tacos come as crispy tacos?
That's a good question. That's a major life question.
That is a great question.
I mean, that's almost up there with corn or flour.
Pretty close.
They are like very close. Very good questions.
I mean, very good questions.
So what do you think?
I think the crispy taco's been dealt a bad hand. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to see how the egg holds up inside of a crispy taco. But I love Migas. That's got tortilla chips in it.
That's true.
So I'm thinking we go home this weekend, we put a little eggs, bacon, cheese in a crispy taco. There is no way that's bad.
I agree. I think I'm going to go over to a place here in Georgetown and get me some Migas.
Yes.
And bite some hard shell.
Yeah, buy some hard shell crispy tacos.
And try it out.
Go home and make it happen.
Why not?
Yeah.
Throw a little bit of the jalapeno sauerkraut on there.
Bam. Dang. Ooh. Dang. That's next level breakfast right
that
there.
That is good stuff. All right, so last question coming in. Elizabeth Schmidt asks, what are the go-to road snacks?
Ooh, road snacks. Well, I'll speak for the rest of the crew. They like gummy bears. That's what they do.
Every
Haribo
trip.
Haribo gummy bears.
Every trip, I supply Kelly with two bags of gummy bears. The sours and the originals.
You're buying sours now?
I didn't know that. For her.
Gummy bears, like I eat one, I'm good. For me, it's chocolate.
Okay.
Chocolate, Reese's Pieces, something Twix bar, but I usually don't. If we stop, or peanut M&Ms, that's another one.
Yes.
So something chocolate, but you know, usually in the middle of a shoot, I'm not doing that. That's kind of like as soon as we head home.
Right.
During
the middle of a shoot, I'm usually grabbing a Clif bar or something like that.
Yeah.
A little more substance because we're shooting long days and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, but I will dip into those gummy bears.
Dip into the goobies. The goobies.
I grew up on gummy bears. My dad was in the Air Force, spent time over in Germany in Ramstein.
Yeah.
That was the snack.
Well, that's why, and you're saying gummy bears, not gummy gummy bears.
Yeah, 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 gummy bears.
Gummy buttons. All right. So those are some good questions. You guys, send your questions in. Hit us on Facebook, Twitter, or podcast at thedaytripper.com.
Yes, please do. Please do. Because if not, we're going to start making up questions on our own.
Oh, man, that's going to
be bad. And then we'll just call a random user out.
Those are going to be bad.
Random listener, and we'll blame it on you.
Yep. All right. So now let's see what kind of feedback we're getting. Not necessarily in the question form.
Hey, day tripper, I got a bone to pick with you.
So we had an email that showed up, and this came from a guy. And it's interesting. His email identifies him as Homer Leverett, but he signed it Woody Leverett.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go. Mr. Garner.
Yep.
I've watched several episodes of your show and couldn't help but notice your hat, in quotes.
Ah.
It looks like a Yankees idea of a cowboy hat.
Ooh.
It's the kind of cowboy hat, okay, that the member of the Village People would wear. As we used to say at A&M, you need two of those hats. One to poop in, and the other one to cover it with. So I urge you to check out Sun Body Hats of Houston and get yourself a replacement.
Sun Body Hats of Houston.
All right.
Well,
throw down on your hat.
No,
my question
all right.
Is he talking about your straw cowboy hat, or is he talking about your Lyndon Johnson?
No, he can't be talking about my Stetson. He can't be talking about my Stetson.
I don't know. That's like a hipster hat. I get it.
He's talking about the palm leaf, and it's not a straw anymore. It's a palm leaf.
Okay.
Now he may be watching old episodes, and I wore some pretty bad hats back in the beginning, but
those
now
have been retired.
Yeah, those have been retired
in the hat graveyard.
But
I've
got a strong palm leaf right now.
Yes,
that
you do.
Is a good hat.
Hey, if it's that hat could survive
four
floating,
seasons.
Floating in the Rockport Fulton,
yeah,
run over
run
by
over.
A boat.
Sir, it is not a straw hat. It is a palm leaf. And, you know, I don't own any horses.
No.
I don't. Could you call me a cowboy? No. I am a Texan. And that's a darn good hat. It breathes nice, lightweight. absorb sweat well. I can't take my nice floats in the water. My nice Stetson out there on the road. I'm guessing the place he's mentioning. I've never looked up Sunbody hats, but I imagine they're kind of like custom cowboy hats.
Probably are.
And are very pricey. And the things I do with my hat, oh no, friend. I can't just throw money away like that. I've got a really nice Stetson right now, and I'm already beat the heck out of that thing.
Yeah, I'd like to know what he's talking about, really, because you know, looking at the Sunbody hats, I mean, they are palm leaf straw hats.
Ooh, yeah, I've got those.
There's some tall ones. There's some short ones.
Yeah,
you know, you've got all kinds in there.
Huh.
So I mean, right now with your palm leaf, that does qualify.
I would agree.
Being legit.
I would agree.
I mean, that in fact, this one right here.
That looks exactly like
looks
my hat.
Looks exactly like yours. The nuts and bolts Guatemalan palm leaf looks pretty much like what you wear.
Bam. So. Anyway, thanks for the feedback, Homer, Woody.
We could buy you an Aussie teardrop hat.
Aussie teardrop? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's got an extra drop in the front and the back.
Oh, nice.
We already fight shadows with your current hat.
Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want that. Well, cool. Well, you know, I respect his opinion. I'm going to keep wearing that hat.
I do.
It's a good hat.
But in reference to your opinion and what you're after, just, you know...
Oh, burn, tear.
Moving on. All right, so we had a fan, Emily Hafner out of New Braunfels, and she wrote in and said, you know, you were amazing last year suggesting Georgetown for my husband and I to go on our third anniversary trip. This year we're looking to go into Granbury and visiting. And so, first of all, great. I'm glad we're giving you great suggestions, and that's super cool.
Woo.
Very much so. She says, we'd like to do what you call a pub and grub, where we stop at the town squares, shop and eat and drink. Is Granbury a great place for this? Or can you suggest something else? And she said, no, we live in New Braunfels.
Well, okay, so I will not suggest New Braunfels, but Granbury, absolutely perfect place
There's
for this.
There's a couple of good spots for Granbury.
So Georgetown, very vibrant square, lots of restaurants and bars and winery and things like that. Granbury, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful town square, four sides with shops, exactly what you're thinking of. If you want a pub, I would absolutely recommend Ketzler's German Beer Garden. If you want some wine, there's a place called Divine Wine. Really good food, both at Ketzler's, the filling station, right down is Pearl Street Station.
Yep.
Farina's Italian, kind of higher end. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Granbury really is your next anniversary trip. Congratulations.
Done. Go for it. Good stuff.
Cool. All well, right, hey, man. I think that wraps it up. So
yeah, that's all we got.
Anyway, as we mentioned before, the biggest thing happening this October is the new Day Tripper season. Tune in. You guys are going to love it. I know the episode turned out great. We'll have our new shirts up soon on the Day Tripper General Store. Go to daytrippergeneralstore.com or thedaytripper.com/shop. Anyway, guys, can't thank our sponsor enough, Mighty Fine Burgers, Fries, and Shakes. Couldn't do it without them. And tune in for our next episode as we will be taking you behind the scenes of the season 8 episodes you just watched. So these are all the stories from the road, what you didn't see on TV. All right, but thanks for joining us, guys. Vaya con Dios, amigos.